Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Luke chapter number 5 in the Word of God today. Luke chapter number 5 in the Word of God today. For those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. And we've been coming through several different characters in the Word of God and looking at their life and hitting different moments in their life that really explain kind of the life that they lived. And a lot of these lives were not perfect lives, and they made their fair share of mistakes. But there is no doubt in God's Word, what we've seen through these lives is that God worked in their lives in a great way. And so we've taken those lives, the heroes of the faith, and started to apply them to our lives as well. We saw it in the life of Moses, about 10 weeks there, and the leadership skills that he had. And then this female character of Esther and how God used her in a great way. And when it didn't look like God was even in the act, oh, he was behind the scenes the whole time working miracles in a great way. And then several weeks ago, we looked at this man that's kind of an unusual character. You don't hear much about him, but the name of Abishai and how Abishai and four other young men were used in a great way to continue to kill the sons of Goliath and really protect the king and King David. And so today, we're going to start in a brand new series, and we're going to be looking at the life of Peter and the subject of launch out at his word. Would you stand with me and looking at Luke chapter number 5 in the Word of God today, Luke chapter and number 5, would you follow along as I begin to read in verse number 1? Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, talking about Jesus, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We've done this and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, all right, at thy word, I will let down the net. This morning, I want to start and really begin to give an introduction to this character in the Word of God that truly many of us can learn from, the life of Peter. Launch out at his word. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd move and you would guide and that you would direct in a great way. Father, in our lives, we need you right now. Savior, in our lives and in this very room right now, there are those that have come to church for many years. And we need to be encouraged today. There are those that, Father, maybe today for the first time are going to hear the gospel. And I ask, Lord, that today they would hear it in such a clear way that they would see their need for a Savior. Father, I am asking, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. And when we walk out of these doors, may we see you and you only. Father, we need you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, Peter knelt in the water and was intent on washing his nets. He had been out all night and had been fishing, and the Bible says that they had caught nothing. He was intent on finishing the job that he had started, and so they knelt down, as many fishermen would do, and they began to wash these nets that had been in the water all night. These men were unaware of the crowd of people that were thronging Jesus at this moment. He, along with James and John, continued this great task that they had done many, many, if not thousands of times before. What I love about the beginning of this story is where we find Peter in the beginning stages of his introduction is often many times where you and I find ourselves. We go about our business each and every day. We get up, we brush our teeth, we get dressed, we go down, we eat our breakfast, we go out, we work, we accomplish 8 hours, 10 hours of work. We make the commute home, we eat supper, we spend time with kids or grandkids or a spouse or maybe even by ourselves. We turn on the TV for a little while or we jump on social media and then we take a shower, we get in bed and we go through the whole day over and over again, 5-6 days a week. It's mundane. It's the same thing. Peter, this is where we find him in his life. He's very tired. Just going through the same old thing, that the rigmarole that he has been through many times before. Have you ever felt like Peter? You ever felt like your life is just one big machine that just the same thing over and over and over again, whether you work out of the house or maybe moms that are in the house, it's the same thing. It's going through just the motion of life. What about this morning, our spiritual lives? What about the spiritual life that seriously, we're just going through the motions. We're just getting in our Bible. We say we get our little five-minute prayer. We jump in and we get our psalm in and we get done. And on the weekends, if we can, we attend church and we just kind of go through the motions of putting money in an offering plate, listening to the pianist play, getting through the preaching of the pastor. And so, to be honest with you, it's not just our physical life, but at times, like Peter, our spiritual life feels like we're just going through the motions. Friend, I'd like to remind us today that no matter what life stage you're in, you and I have one shot at this thing called life. You and I have an amount of time that God has allotted in our life. And after that life here on this earth is done. It's over. We don't get another shot. We don't get a second chance. We don't get to come back and, I didn't use that too well, so let's go back and let's do it over. No, comprehend, even at 38 years old, I don't get a do-over at 36 and 37. I don't get to go back to 25. I don't get to relive my teen years. No, you and I, we have one life and we have one goal. And I'd like to remind us today that goal of life is not holiness. The goal is not faithfulness. The goal is not religion. Comprehend today. The goal is Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen today. The goal of life, this life that you and I have, it's only going to be fulfilled when the goal or what we're pressing towards or who we're looking at is not everyone else and not a corporate ladder and not how much money we can make and not how successful we are, our kids are, our grandkids are, our great-grandkids are. The ultimate goal in life ought to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus steps on the scene and suddenly Peter hears his name. Can you imagine? He's doing his job. He's going about his business. Same old, same old. Maybe a little discouragement there as he has not caught any fish. And he hears his name, Simon, I'd like to use your boat. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the God of the universe knew who he was and spoke his name. You ever heard Christ or God, the Holy Spirit, speak to you? It might not be audibly like this, but you and I, if you're saved today, say amen. No, let's try again. If you're really saved today, would you say amen? Then you've heard he has a still small voice. Here, audibly, Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, I'd like to use your boat. Friend, I'd like to remind us today, until you let Christ in your boat, you're just going to be spending life away, casting your net at nothing. Like Peter's disappointing night of fishing, our attempts to serve the Lord in our strength will yield empty nets every single time. We hear all the time, listen, attempt great things for God. Okay, yes, I get it. But attempting great things for him without him is not the Christian life. Serving God without God is not the Christian life. Watch now. Getting on a piano, playing in an orchestra, standing in a pulpit, greeting somebody with a bulletin, taking an offer, whatever the case might be. Listen, if you and I are attempting great things with God, without God in our boat, it is all, friend, for nothing. That's why I've said it so often. I'm not interested in coming in and having a country club or a little pep talk. I'm not interested in coming in and let's just play church. No, friend. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested interested in Jesus, the Son of the living God. I'm interested in coming in and singing his praise and worshiping him. I'm interested in real grace and real hope. I'm not interested in entertainment. I'm not interested in coming in and let's all come in and let's just play church. No, friend, we are the church of the living God. And we ought to understand and comprehend today that without Christ, what are we doing? I said, what are we doing? I think at times, I'm telling us a little bit, but you know, as preachers, a lot of times I feel like we're worried about everybody loving God. That's our goal. Everybody, man, I got to get everybody to love God. Man, if we just get everybody to serve God. I remember being early in ministry, I was 26 when I became pastor. Boy, that was my, if I can just get everybody, if they can just get in Sunday school, okay, I've accomplished something. Okay, now if I can just keep everybody married, oh, I've accomplished something. If I can just get everybody to have this love for God like I've got, oh, then I've really accomplished something. Understand today, our job is not to worry about everybody's love status with God. Hold on, did you catch that? My job is not to make sure that people love Jesus the way that I think they ought to love Jesus. No, comprehend. My job is to let them know how they feel about God. Comprehend. It does not really matter because he is so in love with you. He is so in love with understanding you. He is so in love with your everyday that my job and my goal is to show Jesus through me. And your goal and your job is to let that light shine so that when others start to comprehend and begin to realize his love, all of life becomes about what you are going to do with God and this extraordinary, unearned, unconditional zeal and love that God has for every person in this room. You have to comprehend today that every person that sits here today, God loves you. Yeah, well, I hate God. Well, good news, he loves you. Yeah, but I don't think he exists. He loves you. Oh, I'm so mad at God. Great news, he loves you. He loves who you are. And you know what he's telling us today? Stop staring at the ship and let me in your boat. It's time that you and I begin to comprehend that we have to launch out. Christ steps on the scene and he begins to tell Peter, I need to use your boat. Peter says, okay, get in. And I want you to launch out a little bit. Launches out a little bit. Jesus takes a seat. And as they nudged away from the shore, Jesus began to teach these people from the Galilean seashore there. And as his voice begins to proclaim across that water, and he begins to tell them all about himself. He begins to preach this message and teach to them. And after he's done teaching, the Bible says that he looks at Peter and he says, here's what he says, launch out into the deep. I'm done teaching. Okay, can we go back? No, I still need your boat. I want you to launch out, and I want you to let down your net. There's an explanation of Peter that comes in, and we've been out, and we've done our job. We've already been through all this, Lord. I don't think this is a... Hold on. Well, I don't mean to brag, and I've heard about you, and I know, and John and I are friends, and we've heard, but... I just want to let you know, we've kind of already been out. Like, we've done this. We were out all night. And, I'm a good fisherman usually, but we didn't catch anything. Now, before we just go harping on Peter, can I just say, this is how we act. Lord, I don't know if you've seen me lately, but I'm pretty impressive. And I've got life pretty figured out. I'm 60 years of age and been in church a long time, fourth generation. Don't know if you knew that or not, God, but I kind of got this whole life, race, get out, launch out, kind of got it. And me and God, we got this understanding. Before you and I start telling Christ how we should do things and how much we know, I think we need to rewind a little bit and comprehend that we were created by God. God forbid we ever come to a place in our lives and we got it all under control and we've got it and we're good and you know what, God, I've been through this before and I've written a book, I've listened to the podcast, I kind of went to that conference and I've been in church a long time and I've been a deacon. My dad was a deacon, my great-grandfather was a deacon, my great-great-grandfather was a deacon, and they started this church and they did this. And before we just start spouting off our resume of how incredible we are, maybe we ought to realize that maybe Jesus, who created life, who is the creator, who has always existed, who exists today, and who will always exist, is not just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all. He is our very best friend. He has never been wrong. He will always be right. His timing is perfect. He is a perfect being. He is God of the universe. Can I tell you this for a moment? He must increase and we must decrease. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Pastor, you don't know me, but I'm pretty impressive. Congratulations here, I'll give you right now. You want an attaboy button? I'll go buy one. I'll give you an attaboy button. But I'm here to tell you, we are nothing compared to God Almighty. And I think as Christians, sometimes we need to be reminded that the boat we think we own is not ours. It's His. Did Jesus have to ask Peter to jump in? He was 100% God and 100% man. He could have spoke a boat into existence. He could have had the Ark. He could have had the Titanic. Not the best illustration. He could have had any boat he wanted to and jumped in it. He's God. He's the God of miracles. But isn't it amazing that he asked Peter, "Can I use your boat?" I'm telling you today, friend, He wants to use you today. He's asking to use you and your talents and your family. He's not concerned about where you are, where you've been. He's telling you, I want to use you. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, where I come from, I've got a bad background. I spent time in prison, and my parents aren't good people, and I got a horrible family tree, and my kids haven't turned out to be nothing, and I'm not faithful to church, and I missed 6 days this week reading the Bible. I had to find an app on my phone because I forgot about him. I haven't even thought about him. I'll just be honest, Pastor, I'm not a very good person. Hold on, friend. Here's what Peter said. Lord, we've already done this, been there, done that, and I'm a failure. Can I tell you, friend? A just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. It's time to stop playing this quit game and realize that Jesus wants to be your Savior. He's asking all of us to launch out. We'll launch out into what? Number one, can I talk about this for the next couple of moments? And here's where we're going to spend a little bit of time for a moment. But you excuse me and you allow the Holy Spirit to work for just a moment. Number one, if you're taking notes, we must launch out into, number one, salvation. Number one, salvation. This is the first call of our Savior. That day, Peter was given something amazing. What a gift that he received. You and I, we've been given gifts as well, absolutely. But there is one thing that all of us have in common with our Savior, and that is this. He wants to, my friends, save your soul. He wants to give you the free gift of salvation. How many like the word free? Would you raise your hand? Be honest. I like free. Would you raise your hand? Go ahead, raise it. Raise it high. Raise it high. How many say, I don't like free. You like to pay something. You say, Pastor, I am weird. I like to pay money and taxes. And would you raise your hand? Nobody. We all like the word free. Can I tell you something, friend? There is a free gift of salvation that God has for you and I. And there is no small print. There is no read between the lines. There is no weird contract that at the end of 5 years, he's going to jet the price up. No, friend. The gift that he gives to you and I, it is eternal. The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse number 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That means this, our salvation lasts forever. No one can take it from you. Nobody can give it to you outside of Jesus Christ himself. We saw it last week in the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that friend, the God that you and I serve is not dead. He did not claim to be some prophet. No, he claimed to be God Almighty. And friend, the God that you and I serve, he is not dead. He is alive. It is not one of these Easter egg hunts that we gotta try to find him. No, the Bible says that he is knocking at your heart's door right now, and it's free. Oh yeah, I love that. It's forever. Like forever, forever. My kids were washing 2 weeks ago. I used this illustration in Sunday school today, but they were washing baseboards. As they got into this, I'm teaching them how to wash baseboards. And again, don't harp on me. I'm trying to teach them, you know, some work ethics, and you know, I need to be done. So it had to be done. So I'm teaching them. I got buckets, and Carrie bought some sponges. We're all cleaning. And I remember playing this day, one of my twins, I think it was Nora Rose, either one, they were doing it, and they didn't do it right, so I had to make them go back, and you got to do it over, because you're just wiping, you know, you got to get the dust, and you got to get it clean, and get the black marks off, and she's scrubbing, she's 6 years old, and I'll never forget, she said, "This is lasting forever." Say forever. You ever been like that? You ever been in a situation that felt like, for some of you kids in school, like you're in algebra class, this is taking forever. This is lasting forever. And all kids, trust me, look, I'm with you. Like everybody always says, why do you have to have algebra 2? We're never going to use this. You're right. I'm not sure. But anyways, we all had to go through it. So you take your torture and you get through it as well. But you're in there and you're looking at the clock and, oh man, it had to have been at least 30 minutes. 3 minutes? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me. This is taking forever. We think that in life, but to be honest with you, life really does go very, very fast. In fact, the Bible says it's here for a little while and then it vanisheth away. My life, I can't believe I'm going to have a teenager this year. And some of you say, you just wait, Pastor. You'll blink and they'll be in college and they'll have kids and you'll have grandkids. And I know, I get it. It goes fast. But I'm here to tell you today, when you and I see our Savior face to face, we walk that street of gold. When 100 trillion years pass, it's only just begun. It's an eternal salvation, but also this gift that God gives you and I, this gift, this free gift of salvation, watch this very carefully. I want you to think about this. It is the gift of forgiveness. It's the gift of forgiveness. The Bible says in Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Watch this now. Even the forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 3 says it like this, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Comprehend this. You're sitting here today and you feel bad about your life and you feel bad about things that you've done in your past and you feel bad about ignoring him and you feel bad about how you've treated somebody and you feel bad about what you've watched or what you've listened to or who you've been around. You have this guilt that is upon you. Friend, may I tell you today, you have come to the right place. I can't even imagine what it would be not knowing my Savior and not having his forgiveness in my life. I want to tell you today, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's eternal life, yes, and we can rejoice in that, but it is so much more. It is, watch that, it is the forgiveness of sin, the past and the present and the future. You and I have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means this, he remembers it no longer. He takes that from us. He takes that burden off of us. When he cried out, "It is finished," that means this, he took your sin and he took my sin upon himself. And friend, at that moment when he cried out, "It is finished," that means this, it is done, complete, over. And we don't have that guilt and that weight anymore. You see, when you have his forgiveness, now hold on, you begin to comprehend what it's like to be forgiven. Hold on. You learn then how to forgive. Now, I want everybody to tune in. Everybody look up here for just a moment. Watch up here. Here's your bog down. Can I tell you, for those of you who are visiting the church, we have those who have been in this church for 30 years. Some who have just joined. There are people in this room who have been saved for 60 plus years. What I have just talked about in salvation, they've heard some of them, I would say, hundreds, if not thousands of times. They've been saved. They got it. They got my heart. I've been washed. I'm clean. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. In fact, if you've been saved for more than 10 years, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Good and high. More than 10 years. 10 years. Raise it real high. Raise it real high so we can see. Okay, I'm talking about probably 90, 95% of this church. Just raise your hands. You know what that means? In 10 years, if you've been faithful to church, you have heard this a ton. You got it memorized. You can give it. You've given it to others. You know it. Okay, I'm saved, going to heaven, can't wait, going to be great. Still doesn't change the fact that we're here and we live this life and gas is $3.69 a gallon and prices are going up and I don't like who's in the White House and I don't like who's our governor. And I don't like this. I don't like my kids. Okay, whatever the case might be, life still goes on. We're not in heaven yet. So I want to talk to you for just a moment. When you and I can say, thank God I'm forgiven. How many are with me? Say amen. Then we have learned something. If we say, okay, God, I trusted you, you're in my heart, you forgave me of my sin, then at that moment, what you and I begin to realize as seasoned Christians is that you and I have now learned we are forgiven so we can forgive. You see, even as seasoned Christians, I think we ask the question sometimes, how do I let go of those who have hurt me? Pastor, how do I let go of the world that's against me and against my kids and against my grandkids and the coworkers and the boss and the manager and the ex-husband or ex-wife or the coach that's always on me and life's not fair and everybody's after me and I even know what they put on Instagram. I know what they put on Facebook. I know they were talking about me. I know what they said about my family. I know where I've been abused. I know where I was hurt. I know where I was backstabbed. How do I, Pastor, forgive those or let go of those who have spoke ill of me? Hold on. I don't think you understand. It's not something that I learned from a podcast or a TED Talk or some leadership convention. Friend, I met a man named Jesus, and he said, I won't hold your sin against you. And if you come to me, I'll forgive you, and I'll love you, and I choose you, and I call you by name, and I have a plan for your life and a step for you to take. And when I looked into his eyes, I realized that what he was offering me, no one else could give me, and it set me in motion. Watch now. By definition, I am now a forgiver. It's what I do because it's what I have received. I am thankful that I've been washed. I'm thankful I'm a child of the King. I'm thankful that I am forgiven. But comprehend, it's not just, well, the reality of, okay, I get to have heaven one day. No, the reality is this. We go through tough times. We've been hurt. We have those who backstab us. But the Bible says I press towards the mark. I'm looking. I'm running. I'm racing. It's not looking in the rearview mirror. Check it out now. God doesn't keep a list of all the times we've hurt him, then why do we keep a list of all those who have hurt us? Well, Pastor, I'll just be honest. Here in 2020, you said from the pulpit, and I quote, you know what? Sorry. I didn't even know you were upset about it. Well, Brother Man Crony, you said to my kid in sixth grade that he would amount to nothing. And that was 16 years ago. And I know he's not amounted to anything, but I just want to tell you. And George, we sit here and laugh. But can I tell you? That's Christians living today. Oh, we got our list. You hurt me. You hurt me. I'm sitting on this side of the pew. I hope you sit in the overflow. I hope you don't play by me. I'm not even going to look at you while you sing in the choir. I'm not going to your Sunday school class, even though I'm supposed to be there for another 5 years. But you know what? I'm going to another one. Hold on. That's the game we play. And you and I have been forgiven. I don't want to hear that. This is for somebody else. He must have heard. I haven't heard anything. To be honest with you, I wrote this message probably 5-6 weeks ago. But can I tell you this? This is the reality of many churches around our nation. And we sit back and we wonder why we're not growing, while churches are shutting their doors, while we're not having young men and young women called to the ministry, more missionaries coming off the field than we have going on, going in. We our Bible colleges are shutting down. People are arguing and fighting. We want to complain. And we want to argue, our kids, Disney's after our kids' hearts. Disney's after our kids' hearts. Let me tell you something, friend. Long before Disney came along, our kids' hearts were given to entertainment and given to summer league baseball and given to the things of this world and given over to bitterness. Long before it stepped on the scene, we've given our hearts to our kids' hearts. They've been gone for a long time. Can I tell you, friend, it is time to get to the nitty gritty. It is time to start addressing that, yes, we can amen, we're saved. Yes, we can amen that we have a Savior. Yes, we can amen that we have Jesus. Yes, we can amen that we're going to live in heaven together, together for all of eternity. But all of a sudden, when it comes to us and our life and our kids and what people did to us, it is almost like, hold on, we can't forgive. We have a, Houston, we got a problem. Because Christ said, you forgive those who trespass against you, I forgive you. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand what they did. You don't understand how against me, how against my kids, how against my wife, how against my grandkids, how against my manager, how against my pastor these people are. You know what? Hold on. Do you know that you and I serve a God that when we stand before Him, we're going to stand before Him with a clean account? Now, let me just say it, put it this way. Time out. Brian, Pastor Foe, we're not perfect. Bruce, Gail, we're not. How is that possible? Brian, we didn't live a perfect life. We haven't been perfect husbands, perfect fathers, perfect Christians. Yeah, I just want to break it. Everybody in here is like, yeah, I know that. Nobody in this room has. But yet, how, Brother Beeman, do we stand before Him? And it's all been wiped away. I'll tell you why. We're forgiven. No, hold on, let me say it again. The John Habing, we're saved. We're forgiven. It's like, that's it. It's done. You ever said you're sorry to somebody, Brother Gear? You ever said, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry I did wrong. Okay, I'll forgive you, but you're going to have to make it up. You ever been in that situation? I forgive you, but it's going to take some time for me to get over it. You know what that person is? They're not forgiving. Jesus says, oh, you've sinned, you've done wrong, you blaspheme me. You were born a sinner. I'm going to save you. I'm going to wash it all away. I'm going to separate it, check it out, as far as the east is from the west. You say, Pastor, how far is that? It's gone forever. Never to be brought up again. I think today we got to comprehend that Christ wants us to launch out. The first thing we have to launch out in is His salvation. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're not saved here today, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your life is about to change for the better. I mean, if I get saved, I never have to worry about finances, and I never have to worry about people being mean, and I don't have to worry about cancer ever again. No. The Bible doesn't promise that. But you get a Savior that said, I'll walk with you every step of the way. And then, church, I want to address this for 1 second and say this. At Cross Point Baptist Church, we want to continue, as the foundation has been laid for us for many years, to continue to be a church that makes a gospel difference in this area. Is anybody with me? Yeah. This is what we desire to be. Pastor, how do we do that? There's a lot of steps I could talk about, but one of those steps is this. Sometimes, Crosspoint family, we have to quit looking in the rearview mirror. And we're going to have to put our hand to the plow. And we're going to have to move forward. Pastor, that's hard. Yeah, you're telling me. Yeah, but they never said they were sorry. Stop looking back. It's time to move on. Yeah, but back in the Eagledale days, and for all those of you who joined Crosspoint recently, you hear Eagledale a lot. And for me, it was kind of weird too, but let me just tell you something. Eagledale, this is not being mean. Pastor Defoe, you know my heart. Eagledale's in the past. We don't live on that property. We don't live in that time. We live in 2022. In fact, to be precise, April 24th, 2022, 11:53. This is the moment. This is our time. Well, Pastor, hold on. Launch out. Lord, I know you want us to launch out, but we've already been out all day and we caught nothing. Launch out. Jesus, I've launched out before and it hurt. Launch out. Yeah, but Lord, I just want to tell you, I have been hurt and somebody said, and thereafter, and there, he says, launch out. Get away from the shore. Do something. And I am saying this morning, as the pastor of Crosspoint, you get ready in the next couple weeks. We're going to be learning about the subject, launching out. And I'm telling you, it's going to take some religion. And it's going to put it by the wayside. And we're going to jump in the boat with Jesus. And we're going to accomplish some great things for our Savior. How many this morning say, Pastor, that sounds good? No, hold on. I want in. I want in the boat. I want him in my boat. I'm nervous. I got decisions to make. I've got some serious scars that I have. And I have not learned this yet to forgive. And I need Christ's help. And I'm not asking for bowed heads, closed eyes. Let's be real today. You ready? We're the church. This building's not the church. We're the church. And you say, Pastor, that sounds real good. I want Jesus in my boat. Would you raise your hand today? Just raise it. If it's not you, don't raise it. It's okay. No peer pressure. I'm looking around the room today. I see hundreds of hands. Where do we start? Why don't we start by talking to him? Stephen, I want in your boat. I want you to cast out. Josh, Gloria, I want in your boat. I want to cast out. Brother Gary, I want in your boat. I want to launch out. Bob, Wilma, I want in your boat. Michelle, I want in your boat. Brother Fulford, Miss Debbie, I want in your boat. Put your name there for a second. Brother Titus, Brother Tom, Liz, Nick, Baldwins, Hayes, I want in your boat. He didn't mention my name. Forgive me. And let's move on. Let's take some time today. Let's get on our knees. No, I'm talking about let's get on our knees. Kneel up here, kneel there, get with the wife, spouse, by yourself. Jesus, I want you in my boat.